Ladies and gentlemen, now the moment you've all been waiting for, it's a world-famous Jackrabbit Slim's Twist Contest. Now let's meet our first contestants here this evening. Young lady, what is your name?
Mrs. Mia Wallace.
And how about your fella here?
Vincent Vega.
All right, let's see what you can do. Take it away.
We are back with your host, Big Lance, and we have brought to you tonight Pulp Fiction, one of my favorite movies.
1994, baby.
One of my favorite movies growing up, which, I mean, most of these that we do are usually one of my, especially if I pick it, it's one of my favorites.
Especially if it's before 2000.
Right, because normally I've been trying to pull up some newer movies to try to get more hits on our website because people are searching these newer movies, but I love our cult followers, so follow us, and this is a great fucking cult classic, Pulp Fiction, so check it out. It's me and my brother, and we finna talk about it.
Let's do it.
We got who? Mr. White.
Alright, you want me to run through a quick cast?
Yeah.
This movie stars John Travolta, Samuel L. Jackson, Bruce Willis, Ving Rhames, Harvey Keitel.
John McClane.
Yeah. Harvey Keitel, Rosanna Arquette, Eric Stoltz, Uma Thurman. Oh, my God, we got names here. Phil Lamar.
Bruce Willis.
Tim Roth, Amanda Plummer. We got a lot of big names in this that some of them weren't big at the time and have gotten a little bit bigger. Some of them were just
Did we say Quentin Tarantino?
No, but he did have a cameo in this.
Samuel Jackson, did we say that?
We said Samuel Jackson.
All right, John Travolta.
Say what again, motherfucker? Say what?
What? Yeah. Samuel Jackson's role stands out in this movie, even though he didn't get a lot to say in this movie.
He got his thing.
He did. His scene was stolen from him. He did get one of the beginning roles and the end role.
But so, he never got his own role.
But he got some of the most memorable monologue in this movie,
is his fucking
scripture that he reads or he says from memory.
It's not verbatim. It's he kind of every time he says it is different. Quentin Tarantino said that every time he said it, it was a little bit different, but it was the same gist. He only said it once. But Quentin Tarantino
said it several times
in his lifetime. Every time he killed somebody, he always said,
I guess.
And it always changed just a little bit, but the same. He didn't do it verbatim. And Quentin Tarantino.
And I strike down upon thee
with great vengeance and furious anger
those who attempt to poison my brother.
And you will know that I am the Lord when I strike my vengeance upon thee.
That's right. Right. Him and John Travolta shoot the shit out of the kid that gave him the fucking burger. Gave him the Hawaiian burger, and then he kills him.
Oh, okay. Two things I want to talk about real quick right in this part we're talking
Marvin.
All right. Big Kahuna Burger.
Big Kahuna Burger.
He's like, I have never had one. Can I taste your Big Kahuna Burger? Oh, that is a good burger. Is this yours? What's in it? Sprite. Can I have some of your Sprite?
Yeah, sure.
And he's like, and he drinks that entire Sprite. All right, Big Kahuna. Do you remember that, or is that first? That's the first time. That's the first time you ever seen Big Kahuna Burger.
Yeah.
We didn't mention it, but
is it in the
Dust
from
Dawn? It's in From Dust Till Dawn. Remember when George Clooney comes back with the burgers? It's Big Kahuna Burgers.
Does he say it?
You see it on the bag. Big Kahuna Burgers.
I did not see that. That's fucking crazy. I wish I would have seen
that. The other thing I wanted to say was Vincent Vega, something I was telling you earlier before we went on air. Vincent Vega is the brother to Vic Vega, Mr. Blonde, and Reservoir Dogs. And they wanted to do a movie called The Vega Brothers, which was the two of them and their third brother, Vito Vega. Huh. But they're too old to do it now. But the storyline is on the internet.
Okay.
We also didn't talk about the sequels of From Dusk Till Dawn.
And Harvey Keitel is in this movie.
He is the wolf. Did you hear what I said there?
What?
We didn't bring up the sequels from Dust Till Dawn. Like we said, we were just going to talk about them a little bit. We skipped them. But anyway, whatever.
I don't think they matter.
They don't fucking matter. All right, so Harvey Keitel, yeah, he's in this movie. He's the wolf. He does some cleanup.
That's right. And Marvin, ain't he like a dude from Mad TV?
Phil
yeah,
Lamar.
I thought he was.
You know one thing, though, we didn't mention about this movie? This movie's timeline is fucked up. It's three different stories in three different orders.
How do you like John Travolta in this movie?
I love John Travolta in this movie.
Dude, John Travolta, when he says, he's like, no, I love the part when he brings the Uma Thurman in all half dead. And he's like,
to Eric Stoltz, where he bought the drugs from.
Go find the shot, man. Go find the shot.
It's like, I'm looking for my little nurse's book.
You never given a shot before?
He's like, no, I've never had to do this.
Like, he was supposed to have done that shit a lot of times. He's like, you've never done this shit before.
Well, he's freaking out because from what he understands, but Marcellus threw a guy out of a fucking balcony for rubbing her feet. What if he kills her?
All right, well, this acting to me is shitty acting, but I love it, dude. Dude, I cannot stop fucking thinking about how shitty John Travolta's acting is in this movie, but
it's
how
purpose.
Fucking good it is.
It's purpose. It's purposely done.
I cannot. Dude, that's one of the best fucking roles. I love Vince Vega. Vincent Vega in this movie. I love that shit. And he tells the guy, his drug dealer, he's like, you want, I got a girl for her, you want to fuck her? Or like that bitch with all that shit in her face? He's like, no, that's my fucking wife.
Sorry.
And he laughs at him. That shit's funny as fuck to me,
dude. Let me say something I caught the other night when I watched it in that part that I never caught before. He's like, hey, man, you want to stay and party? We can get high. And this chick's out here. And he's like, no, man, I got to go. I got some shit I got to do. He's like, okay, no problem. And he's like, hey, man, you mind if I get high here first? You just told the dude you had shit to do and couldn't get high with him. But you're like, hey, man, do you mind if I get high? And he's like, yeah, man, mi casa es su casa.
Can't get high with me, though.
I don't want to get high with you. I just want to get high real quick and haul ass.
All right.
I just want to use your location shoot up.
What about this? He's like, I got to try a fucking $5 shake. I ain't never seen a $5 shake. I gotta try this.
That's a good fucking shake.
And then I'm thinking to myself, God damn, go to Dairy Queen, bitch. It's $5 every day long.
Not 1994 though. That bitch was $1.85.
Probably 35 cents for a fucking.
Not 96. I mean 94. Not in our growing.
Oh,
up.
94? No. It would have been $1.20.
Yeah, $1.50, somewhere around there. $1.90.
Yeah, gas prices almost.
No, gas prices were lower than that.
They was like a dollar.
When I started driving, gas prices were less than a dollar.
When I started driving, they was like $1.26.
Yeah, it was like 98 cents. 95 cents.
I want to say I started driving around 2000.
I remember getting gas one day and going, 88 cents? What? I got to fill up.
I remember getting gas after it raised above like $3 or $2 after it went crazy as fuck that one time.
Went up to almost $5 during the fucking Bush.
I know, but
shit.
The first time it went up that we can remember as driving, it was like $3 from $1.20. And then we was like, oh my God. And then it went back down to $1.34. I remember that. And I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. Not too long ago, it was like under $2. You remember that?
Oh, I remember saying I'll never see gas go under $2 a gallon again.
Do you remember that? Not too long ago, it was like under $2. Now it's like $2.15.
Yeah. Hey, that's better than $4.20.
You know when the last time I looked at gas prices? About 3 years ago. I ain't had to pay for gas in a while.
That's good.
Boss man pays for my gas.
All right, where are we going with From Dusk Till Dawn?
Where were we at?
I'm not From Dusk Till Dawn. Fuck. Where am I at?
We are Pulp on Fiction. Pulp Fiction, man. We haven't even mentioned. This movie is kind of different genre type of movies. It is also, the storyline, all fucking crazy in this movie. It starts off with a bank robbery that it don't let you know that it's a bank robbery. It's just
a cafe robbery.
Yeah, it's just, cafe robbery. And they don't let you know that. It's just two women, a woman and a man. It's just a couple sitting there talking about stupid shit. I don't know what they're even talking about.
They're talking about stop. They've been robbing banks. They're like, we don't need to do that. We need to rob a place like
that. Yeah, he's like, last time, remember when you started taking all the
wallets? That
was a great idea. And we got more money from the wallets than we did from the bank robbery.
Who expects a restaurant to get robbed? Let's rob this place right now. Let's do it, honey bunny. Okay, pumpkin. And he jumps up and he's like, hey, this is a stick up. Everyone freeze. And she jumps out and goes, anybody who fucking moves, I'll pull your fucking face off.
I love you, pumpkin.
I love you, honey bunny.
Everybody be cool. This is a robbery.
Any of you fucking pricks move, and I'll execute every motherfucking last one of you.
And then you hear,
what does that remind you of? A spaghetti western.
Yeah. That was a surfer song.
But the way they done that, they paused the scene and went into a fucking song and then started another scene.
Mm-hmm.
That was a spaghetti western scene to me.
That's Quentin Tarantino all day. He directed this movie. That's him all day long.
He went into different genres with this movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, I agree with you. Yeah.
All right. Well, then he's got so much dramatic in this, so much comedy in this, so much. I mean, like, what about the fucking scene where Vince Vega and Uma Thurman's in the fucking eating their fucking $5 shit and they got fucking Marilyn Monroe and this midget fucking letting them in?
What was that? Jack Slims.
That was a
Jack Rabbit Slims.
That was a cool scene, man. That was awesome. I would love to have a fucking restaurant like that.
You can pay more to sit in a car.
Let's me and you do that.
Buddy Holly. Did you see Steve Buscemi as Buddy Holly?
I didn't.
Mr. Pink from Reservoir Dogs.
I don't remember Steve Buscemi.
He was the waiter. He come up and he was like, I'm your waiter, Buddy Holly. What can I get you?
I fell asleep. I fell asleep and didn't watch it again.
You fell asleep?
I did. This last time I didn't watch it, so I don't remember Buddy Holly in it because I didn't see it. I didn't see Steve Buscemi's part
quick
in it. But I do want to say something about Steve Buscemi.
Yeah.
Brian Quinn mentions that whenever 9/11 happened, he was involved in that, Brian Quinn.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know that. That's cool.
Because he was a New York fireman.
Steve Buscemi, I know the story.
Steve Buscemi puts his used to be a New York fireman, and he put his old fireman clothes on and went to work that day.
Yep. And
when that happened, and pulled people out of the rubble.
Yep, I remember reading that.
And Brian Quinn talks about that on
Tell Him Steve
Dave. My brother, hey, I got to plug my brothers. Tell them Steve Dave, I love that fucking podcast. If anybody wants to listen to that podcast, listen to it. And, hey, tweet them on Twitter that we love them and this podcast respects the fuck out of them.
Yeah, and hey, while you're doing that, do the same thing for What Say You with Sal and Q.
That's right. I love What Say You. And tell them what, hey, tell you what, you can also do it for The Impractical Jokers. What's their little podcast called?
The Tenderloins.
The Tenderloins podcast.
It's got like a little short 12 episodes, but it's cool.
All right, they're really good episodes, though. I love them all. All
right, back into Pulp Fiction, Quentin Tarantino. we're just jumping around, right? We're not.
Jump around.
We're not doing plot. Okay,
like Crisscross, we jump around.
Well, hell, this movie jumps around.
Right.
Because let me tell you something. John Travolta gets blown away by Bruce Willis in the second act. In the third act, he's cleaning up Marvin's brains off the back of the Cadillac. What? He was resurrected? No. This movie jumps around.
I love this part, man.
Tell me about it.
Bruce Willis's
Bruce
granddaddy.
Willie. You got to see Bruce's Willie. Bruce Willie. You didn't see his Willie, but you've seen a whole lot of pubic hair.
Bruce Willis's granddaddy, which is who?
I don't know.
Christopher Walken.
That's not his granddaddy. That's the guy who was in the
In the prison with his grandfather or his father.
He was in a POW camp, and he's like, all right, go ahead.
I carried it in my ass. What? Is, how does he talk?
Your granddad carried this watch in his ass.
In his ass.
For 5 years.
You're talking to my kid all wrong.
So I told him, you're talking to my kid all wrong.
So is that your father? What if I am?
What if I am? Kid Rock, fuck off. All right, that scene kind of drawn out a little long, but I loved it because I love Christopher Walken.
I do, dude.
And I'm just thinking, this kid loves his fucking watch. That's been up two men's asses for a total of 7 years.
And it goes back home, and you got that
carried
fucking
this watch up my ass.
You got that.
Years.
You got that scene where it's all fucking. There's no talking in the scene. It's just him walking through the house.
He's looking around. He's all nervous.
He makes him a Pop-Tart.
Yep. And he's and as soon as he puts Pop-Tarts on, he finds a machine gun. He picks it up, and he's like, what? And then by that time, the door opens. John Travolta's standing there with that book in his hand. He took him a shit. John Travolta don't do good in bathrooms. Every time he goes to the bathroom, some shit happens. Yeah, I mean, think about it.
True.
All right, so he comes out.
He's like Elvis.
And old boy just...
he's like Chris Farley.
Yeah. He points the gun at him, and they're just kind of a standoff. It's a Mexican standoff. And then the Pop-Tarts go... And he goes, and that's the end of Vincent Vega.
Yep, he's dead.
No, he ain't. He comes back in the third act.
But you got how many stories? About four stories in this movie. You got
three. There's three acts, three stories.
Well, you got the girl and guy that's robbing the place.
That falls in line with Jules' story.
Jules.
Samuel L. Jackson.
No, it don't.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it climaxes with them.
You got John Travolta and Jules' story.
That's really the first act, but they kind of bring in Jules' story at the very beginning.
You got John Travolta and Jules' story. You got
Act One.
You got Bruce Willis and Ben
Marcellus.
What's his name?
Ving Rhames.
Ben Ray.
Act Two.
You got. You got a little bit of Quentin Tarantino, but you can't call that a whole.
No, he's part of one of the stories. The other story you got is Mia Wallace and
Mia
Vincent,
Wallace.
Vincent Vega.
Right, Mia Wallace and
that's
Vincent
Act
Vega.
But that's it. That's the only three stories you got. They go back. After that one, they go back to the Jules, John Travolta and Samuel L. Jackson story. And then after that, they go back to Samuel L. Jackson and the two robbers at the bank, at the restaurant.
You're right.
So they start with Samuel L. Jackson, then they move on to John Travolta.
So that's three roles.
Then they move
on
to Bruce Willis. Then they go back to John Travolta with Mia. Then they go back to Jules. Yeah, I mean, they start with one. If you actually look at it, it starts with one, and it happens the same.
I like it. All right. Well, where are we at in the movie? Are we about done?
We're just talking about our favorite parts.
You got another favorite part?
Listen.
It was somebody's cell phone.
Was it mine?
I think it was.
I didn't miss a call.
My boss man's calling me.
Put him on.
This ain't cool. What if he fires me?
We'll cut out and anything don't need to be there. Just put him on.
Hello. Hey, man.
You called?
Did I call you?
Yeah, man, you called me.
Well, I don't know why I called you, man. I was doing a podcast. I might have accidentally called you. It was a butt dial.
Okay. All right, man. No problem.
All right. Did you hear me talking shit?
No,
Oh, hell, I'm about half drunk right now, man. So I didn't know if you done called me and heard me talk and shit and then fucking hung up and called me back.
You don't usually call me this late. I heard something was wrong.
No, I'm good. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to worry. All right, bye.
When I said before, what was that? It was you. You were butt dialing him and it went to his voicemail. That's what it sounded like. It sounded like a fucking voicemail.
Shit, that's probably what happened.
Oh, we probably left some shit on his voicemail, though. He ain't checked that yet.
Yeah, he might check it.
How long was the voicemail run before it just automatically hangs up? Like 15 minutes?
He probably thought I was going to quit him that.
He's going to go back and listen to that now.
Because me and him have been having problems lately.
He sounded pretty cool, didn't you? I mean, he didn't sound like a bitch.
I know, but I think, yeah, me and him's been having some problems. I'm telling you, man, I don't know what's finna go down, but.
Well, you just told him you were half drunk.
I know. I don't care. Man.
You're on your own time.
That's right. And it's my own world, man. I live in it. He don't got to live in it.
All right. Well, let's get back in this movie so you can go get some food.
Everybody's got their own world.
That's right. All right. Well, you running this show, and you pretty much decided just to walk around. So, I mean, there's some better parts, man. There's a lot of parts that we've left
okay, Pulp Fiction, man. Some of my favorite parts was the one where he says he pulls him up. He's like, is this Dead Nigger Stores? Does it look like, is there a sign that says Dead Nigger Storage outside?
Quentin Tarantino used the N-word a lot in this movie.
There was a lot of racism in this movie altogether.
But it was 94, though, dude. I mean, this was before OJ. So this is before.
And I listened to a interview with Quentin Tarantino and Samuel L. Jackson talking about
this. He said that shit to Samuel L. Jackson.
Samuel L. Jackson said. He said, Quentin Tarantino said, this will be a crazy fucking film. And if you say this, it will blah, 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 blah. And make you goddamn. And he was like, well. And then he said, Quentin Tarantino giggled, and I giggled. And we both said, hell yeah, let's do it. That's what Samuel Jackson said about the part. So he was cool with the situation.
Sounds good to me, man. I mean. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
But part to me,
that shit
I love
today, though.
But that part to me was one of my favorite parts. He's like, did this look like Dead Nigger Storage?
And Samuel Jackson's like, no.
Samuel Jackson reminds me of Django, Samuel Jackson's part.
No, Massa, no.
He's like, oh, man, you know we got good.
But would it,
you know what I mean?
Would it have not done the same thing if they'd have said, does this look like Dead Gangster Storage?
Dead
Gangster Storage.
Yeah, or Piece of Shit Criminal Storage.
Would that have done just as good without using the N-word?
It would have, but Quentin Tarantino wanted to
pushed the envelope.
Racism is a big thing in the world, and it's a true story.
Well, that was, again, this is before OJ, so this
OJ didn't start the racism.
Oh, no.
OJ started the racism, Phillips said.
No, I'm not saying OJ started racism. I'm saying OJ.
Hey, racism don't start till you kill a white woman.
That is not what I said. What I said was in the fucking OJ's trial, one of the prosecutors called OJ the N-word. And ever since then, the N-word.
Did they?
Yeah, and ever since then, the N-word is now taboo. White people are not allowed to say the N-word. But after that, rap songs started using the N-word as friends.
After OJ, rap songs started using
the N-word.
Phillip just said, after OJ, it was appropriate to say the N-word on rap songs. Listen, I ain't never in my life laughed as hard as I just have in my life, man. I've never heard nobody say that in my life, Phillip. But after the OJ incident, apparently, it's okay on rap songs to say the N-word.
Yes.
And
Once you kill a white woman,
Tupac finally come out. After. After the OJ incident. I'm sorry. Bone Thugs and Harmony. When was the OJ thing? You're making my fucking stomach hurt, man.
Like fucking early 90s.
Okay, I'm hungry, man. I'm hungry and you're making me laugh. It makes my stomach hurt twice as hard.
Can we get back into Pulp Fiction?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, let's goddamn. Whew. All right. Are you, any other favorite parts of this movie, man?
Pulp Fiction, man.
Is there some parts that we left out? Because think about it. We can't redo this podcast.
I've mentioned about four. Yeah, I haven't mentioned any.
Oh, dude, I mentioned a shit ton.
Mention one.
Well, let's talk about the fact when he stabs her with the fucking needles.
Oh, man. He's like, you never stabbed anybody with the needle before?
He's like, no, you do it, man.
John Travolta don't know what to do. You've never done this before? He's like, no, you do it. You fucking brought a dead girl here. You fucking stab her. He's like, you never done this before. Like, he was supposed to know how to do that shit.
Did Patricia Arquette, that was his wife that had all the shit in her face?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't Patricia Arquette. It was Roxanne Arquette. Roxanne Arquette.
Was that David's sister?
Yeah. Did she not, and her brother's in this, / sister's in this too. We'll talk about that in a minute. Did she not get horny? I swear, she got excited right before he was about to stab her.
She did. Was like, she was smiling and fucking.
Before she was bitching. What the fuck is this? Get this shit out of my house. Oh, you going to stab that bitch? Oh, yeah, let's do it.
What about when John Travolta pulls up in the yard and fucking busts through the fucking garage?
I'm
going
to be at your house in a minute. Do not come to my house. Click. I mean,
this is not
there.
My fucking problem, and he drops
this
that
is Marcellus
bitch.
Wife.
He drops that bitch on the fucking ground, and he's like, "Did you want me to tell Marcellus why that you didn't want to have nothing to do with this, and you let this fucking girl die on the fucking grass out here in your lawn?"
Oh no! Bring that bitch in the house. And he stabs her. He has to draw a dart.
But he has them busted all through the fucking... everybody in the neighborhood knows something's going on at this point. But nobody's walked outside. But you know that everybody in the neighborhood knows something's going on.
It was... Hey, look, man. That's a sketchy neighborhood, dude. People just let shit go.
You might be right.
You don't fuck with your neighbors.
You know another cool saying on the movie?
Absolutely. Zez dead, baby. What about when he slams into Marcellus? He drives up after he's killed John Travolta. He sees Marcellus.
He's at a stop sign. He's at a stop sign.
A red light. And runs
and
that bitch
he's
down.
He's fucking doing something else. He's paying attention to something else. And then he finally
looks
up.
He's walking.
Marcellus Wallace sees him. He sees Marcellus Wallace. We never mentioned Marcellus Wallace made him fall down on a fight.
Yeah, he said, yeah, go down on this fight, you know.
And you're going to win this money, but if you fucking beat him, I'm going to kill you.
And he killed the motherfucker.
And
he killed
the other guy, yeah. The fucking taxi driver wanted to bone him. Yeah, he should have went ahead and fucked her.
No, he had a little French piece of ass at the
But
hotel.
He had her either way. He could. Hey, you
she
never,
was aggravating.
Let me tell you something.
She was
about
aggravating.
Let me tell you something about
off.
A piece of ass.
I'd had to run
Can
her ass.
Can I tell you
off.
Something?
I'd have had to run her little piece of ass off.
This is just my philosophy.
Go
ahead. Can I tell you something about a piece of ass?
Go.
You can't never make a piece of ass up. If you miss out on it, it's gone. Not saying you can't fuck another girl again, but you can't. If you miss out on a piece of ass that night, can't never make up for it. How many times you gonna fuck in your life? What's the best thing that happens in your life? Nothing. Right? That's the best feeling you have. What other than like?
What's the best thing in the world that's ever happened to you? Nothing.
Nothing.
That's, nothing, honey.
That's me, man. Nothing.
All right.
Because you know, because my nut ain't never made an actual child. Your nut, but...
Three
Listen,
times.
We're going to go back. your children now in your life, your children's the best thing that ever happened. So when right. things happen in their life that makes you feel really happy, that's the best thing in your life. But
when they get married and have kids.
What was the origin of your happy?
Nothing.
That's the real meaning of life.
Nothing. So what is the meaning of life?
Nothing. Exactly.
The meaning of life is nothing.
And
that makes sense. The meaning of life is reproducing. To continue. The line.
Nothing. Because eventually it's going to get wild. Wow. Eventually. But think about this. Eventually, you fucking, which is creating life. Right? Are you listening to me? Philip.
Dude, you just fucking blew my mind, man. Listen. You just gave me the meaning of life.
Listen.
You just blew my fucking mind.
Listen. You're fucking to create life.
To continue life.
No, but listen. Eventually, it gets wiped out, and another life comes after this.
Dinosaurs.
And creates other life and other bacterias and other things that wipe out this life, like cancers and blobbity-blobbity-blobbity shit, la hole. But eventually, it all comes back to you live for nothing.
You blew my fucking mind. It's gone, dude. The meaning of life is
nothing.
I mean, you live your entire life for nothing. I mean, and it's a double entendre that I fucking love. Because it's nothing.
Is that?
And it's nothing.
Is that
like
the
nothing.
Smoky Shelters montage?
What? The meaning of life?
Nothing.
I mean, the meaning of life. You live your everyday life for nothing.
How about we create a t-shirt called Life Nothing?
No, that's a cool concept. No, I don't like that idea, though. Meaning of life? Nothing.
You want to put that on a t-shirt?
No.
I just like Life Nothing. Life Nothing. And put a tree. This is our fucking picture. A tree growing, but a nut at the bottom, like a peanut.
No.
A peanut is, listen, it's a nut. Nothing. It's a nut that grows underground. You can't see the nut. It's nothing. You got life growing above the ground. That's life. Life nothing. What? I just fucking blown my own fucking mind. That's our new t-shirt. Is a peanut with the life underground and over the ground. And it's fucking the walking dead.
Oh my God.
It's the live dead. It's the living dead. It's what's growing underground and what's living above the ground. Life nothing. Life nothing. I done fucking blowed my mind, dude. You blowed my mind, and then we blowed my mind, and then I actually blowed my mind.
Oh, my God. Oh, we can kill. Yeah, all right.
It's how the zombie apocalypse happens.
Let's get back.
With peanuts. Okay. Live nothing.
Let's get back into Pulp Fiction, dude. Because
right.
There's another part I want to talk about. After we hit Marcellus with the car,
We
run into a pawn shop with a bunch of hillbillies.
He's like, bring out the gimp.
Bring out the gimp. But the gimp's sleeping. Well, I guess you just have to go wake him up now, won't you?
Bring out the gimp.
They take this bitch out of a fucking box. A chest.
That's the best monologue I've ever heard is bring out the gimp.
But the gimp's asleep. Then wake him up.
Wake thy gimp with butterfingers.
So anyway, we wake the gimp up and we say, which one of y'all is going to go first? All right. First of all, we knock out both Marcellus and Bruce Willis. Say that 10 times really fast. All right. So now.
It's late.
Well, I'm trying to talk about this movie. We're talking about the meaning of life. So anyway. So now. They wake up with ball gags in their mouth. It's like, which one do we do first? Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Catch the tiger by his toe. If he hollers, let him go. My mother told me to pick the very best one, and you are it.
He went through all that shit, dude. I was like, what? I kept thinking he was going to bail out somewhere. But anyway, so now he picks Marcellus. He takes him in there. And they tell the Gimp, who's strapped up to watch Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis breaks his shit, knocks the Gimp out. My favorite part of the movie is when he runs upstairs and he goes to leave. Fuck this shit, I'm gone. But he hears Marcellus holler. And he like man codes up. He's like, all right, dude. So he gets the bat. The hammer. Then the bat. Then the chainsaw. Anyway. You want to talk about the samurai sword?
He comes in with a samurai sword and fucking chops him up.
Alright, let's rate and review this movie. That was the biggest part I want to talk about.
The samurai sword?
That was the ending. That was
Tell
the
me.
Climax. We just talked about it. Cut him up. Let's rate and review this thing, man. You got to get out of here. You got to get some food. What's your rate and review on this movie?
Dude, Pulp Fiction. I'm going to give it a... I'm going to give it a 9 in my Quentin Tarantino...
Holy fuck, 9?
In my Quentin Tarantino box of... Yeah. Yeah, I like it, man.
Fucking 9. That's a high score. Okay. Yeah. I like Pulp Fiction, man. I like...
I like the way they... twisted it, you know.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I didn't give my review. I didn't give my review.
You paused. I thought it was my turn.
They twisted it. They fucking gave the beginning at the end, the fucking middle of the
timeline.
That's what I liked about it, man. And it's just like he said in an interview. You really don't. It's not a movie that is hard to follow. It's just you. Can't do the fucking Scrabble puzzle on the fucking paper that week while you watch it. You just and nowadays I'll term it up for him. You can't play on your cell phone while you watch the movie.
Right.
You gotta watch the movie. Give him 2 hours and 10 minutes
of your time,
and he will
entertain
the shit out of you. All right, that's my Quentin Tarantino love of the day. 9. Right. I give it a 9.
That's a
year ago,
school.
My bro.
Okay, I love Pulp Fiction, man. I've seen it multiple times. Again, when you said I want to do Pulp Fiction, I had just watched it probably a month or so ago when it came on Netflix. I was like, Pulp Fiction, fuck yeah, let's watch it. So I watched it. You were like, Pulp Fiction. I probably could have done it without watching it again, but I watched it again any fucking way because I love this movie. I'm gonna give this movie an 8. 8 is great. I gave From Dusk Till Dawn 8.5. I think this movie is written better and directed better, but I enjoyed From Dusk Till Dawn a little bit better. So 8.5 was what I gave Dusk Till Dawn. I'm giving this one an 8. It's not quite to the standards, but it is as far as it's just entertainment wise, man. I mix up my shit, but I'm going to give it an 8.
10-4, that's acceptable.
All right, well, let's do a little budget versus box office on 1994.
Well, I'm going to say Pulp Fiction put a whole $25 million into.
This is 1994. This is before From Dusk Till Dawn.
Pulp Fiction put $25 million into.
Standing firm, okay?
See how he likes it. Fucking make me change up.
Pulp Fiction spent $8 million on this.
See, $25 million ain't wrong. He tried to make me change up, and who knows what I would have said. I might would have said $2 million. I might would have said $30 million. But I stick firm.
But he was close with
25.
You were close.
I was.
25 is close to 8.
So let me stay firm. Stop trying to fucking...
Podcast land,
me.
You can't see me, but I'm making a sarcastic face because 25 is very close to 8.
It ain't. It ain't that far off. All
right, what did this movie make? What did it gross in the box office in 1994?
Wrong. I don't think that it did a huge number.
It's been $8 million.
But since our people like Reservoir Dog a lot, I think that they started watching more of Quentin Tarantino's shit. And Robert Rodriguez already had a name for himself because he put out.
He wasn't in this.
Oh, my bad. Well, this is Quentin Tarantino's second film. I'm sorry. He did this after Reservoir Dogs, which was an indie film. I know that.
We'll do that one a little later. We're doing all these backwards in time. We're doing the newest to the oldest.
It made $15 million.
I'm finna blow your mind.
It did $35 million.
I'm really gonna blow your mind.
Go for it.
$107 million. Wow. That's, no, fuck that. $107.9 million. $108 million.
That's what put Quentin Tarantino on the map right there.
Opening weekend. Keep in mind, I'm going to give you a hint. It was released as an independent film.
Oh, I believe you. I'm going to say it did $300 million opening weekend.
$300 million?
I mean, $300,000. My bad.
It did $21 million opening weekend. What did you say?
Not near about that much. I said $300,000.
How many, bonus question, how many months?
4 or 5 months. 5 months.
You're wrong either way. I was going to give you if you said 2 or 3 because it was in October and November of 94 and that was it. But if you would have said 3, I'd have gave it to you because in 2012, it went one weekend in the theater again. And you know how much it made?
Right.
$900,000.
No.
Almost $1 million. Just for coming out one weekend, just playing back in the movie theater. Well, that was right, cool, man. Let's move into some games so we can wrap this show up, brother. Let's do the name game. This is your movie, your pick. Let's see. I'm going to go John Travolta.
I'm going to go Broken Arrow.
Okay. Face Off.
Urban Cowboy.
Phenomenon.
What is that movie called? Bubble Boy.
Yeah, he was in a different version from the Jack Gyllenhaal.
I wasn't thinking of that one, but I'm thinking of another.
There is one he was in called Bubble Boy.
Yeah, I know that. I was trying to hold on to that one.
Saturday Night Fever.
Damn. John Travolta played him.
No, I'm biting my thumbnails because I want to give you one. I'm like, no, I'm not looking at nothing, but I got like 4.
I'm thinking of Grease.
I said I got 4, and if you didn't say anything, I was just about when you said Grease to go. I got 4. I got chills.
Oh, yeah.
They're multiplying. I was wanting to give you that one, dude. Grease, yeah.
Oh,
Welcome Back, Cotter. TV show.
Wild Hogs.
Look Who's Talking.
Look Who's Talking to.
Look Who's Talking Now. Fucking knocked my mic out of the way. All right.
Like some John Travolta, man. I don't know why I can't come up with another one right now. And I know why I'm gonna feel stupid. Alright, that's it.
You done?
Yeah, I got it.
Michael,
yeah.
Taken of Pelham 1-2-3.
Yeah.
The Punisher.
Yeah. Swordfish.
Get Shorty.
Yeah. I feel stupid now.
Oh, man, there's so many. There's so many to go.
When you started naming some started coming to me. They started coming to me, man.
I know. When I said, "Look Who's Talking," you didn't had no clue. Shit.
I forgot about "Look Who's Talking" about. I remember he was the baby.
He was the daddy.
That's right. Who was the baby?
Bruce Willis.
That's right.
Bruce Willie.
Damn,
him and his little Bruce
Willis. We wouldn't have never thought of that if we would have did Bruce Willis movies.
Oh, no. Never, ever, ever. Have we done a Bruce? We ain't done a Bruce Willis.
We haven't. All right, man. Let's get into the last name word. What? I don't give a shit. Well, I got to go.
Fuck, man. All right. Well, one word to describe Pulp Fiction, my brother.
I'm gonna have to say a little quote, and it's gonna be, "Lay my vengeance upon thee."
I was hoping you were gonna go Pulp. I was Fiction.
I'm sorry. Do a little quote. There's a bunch of good quotes in this movie.
There is a fucking.
"You won't know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee."
All right, my one quote for this is, "Kid, this watching my ass for 2 years."
I like it.
All right, guys, man, we hope you enjoyed this episode. Check us out at smokeyshelter.com. We're on Facebook. Like us. We're on Twitter. And we're on Podomatic. We're on Pocket Cast. Check out our Patreon site. We do some donations there. Like, you donate to us, and we give you some free shit. You ain't buying shit. It's just donations and rewards. Beyond that, man, hit us up on Facebook. That's where we're at all the time.
Fucks with us.
And we fucks with you. Any last words, Big Lance?
All right, then. We're out. Peace out.
Later.